gone. Where would we be without the mercy of God? My goodness. We don't have a clue. We know what all he brought us through. Wonder if he showed us everything that may have happened that we didn't even realize. What if he had showed us right up to the line where we was, and if we went not one more step, what would have happened? My. His mercy is greater than we even comprehend. I mean, we don't have a clue. We don't have a clue. All right. Well, not because of us, but because of some faithful men in a prayer room that prayed some people home and prayed some people in the church that wasn't even at the church. And you pray, and here they come busting through the door. All the way up the aisle, and don't stop and sit in the pew, but come all the way to the aisle, all the way to the altar, and getting saved, getting right. Yeah. Don't tell me it don't work. I know it works. Amen. I know prayer works. All right. Chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, preaching on the church. There's some things about the church that is glorious. There are some things about the church that are victorious. There are some things about the church that's depressing. There are some things about the church that's discouraging. But regardless, the church is not going down, the church is going up. And the church is not defeated, the church is victorious all the time. The problem with the church is it ain't the building, it's us. We are the church, and if there's any issues, it's because of us. The Lord don't cause issues. He fixes issues. You know that? But we the ones that have problems. If we have little faith, it's not because we got a little God, it's just because we just get a little faith, you know. If we get discouraged, it ain't because our problem's bigger than our God. It's because we've let the problems overwhelm us sometimes. Sometimes we spend too much time thinking about the problem instead of the one who solves the problem. And that's just us. We're just old flesh that the Lord looked down and showed mercy on and saved, cleaned up, and made us a fit candidate for heaven. And it's an amazing work. That's why it's amazing grace. You know, we just and we get to go. To think we get to go to a place where God is beyond my comprehension. I can see God showing mercy. I can see God saving us and leaving us here and letting us figure it out. I can see that. But I can't comprehend God saving us, cleaning us up, going to take us to be with Him for eternity, make everything perfect with us. I just can't comprehend. I believe it, but I just can't figure out why He would do it, because I know me. I know me. I messed up everything that I've ever fooled with, and I'm going to heaven. I just wonder how long I'll last. If He don't just boot me out and say, no, you've done messed up. If anybody can mess it up, I can mess it up. All right? And if me and Jared both go, I don't know what will tear up. You know, I don't know what will catch fire or anything else. So I'm glad we're being changed. What about that, Jared? We're going to get a glorified body. We'll be better. All right, let's think about some things tonight. And this won't be very shouting tonight, but it will be helpful. All right. I don't know that Naaman Moore or Lynn Schieffer will shout tonight. So let's look at what the Scripture says. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, it says, Paul's speaking to Timothy now, and he's given a young pastor orders and things that he needs to know concerning the church. And he says here, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. I want you to know that when God saved you and placed you into the church, the body, He did not place you into a little tiny organization, but He placed you into a great organism that He is in control of. And that you are somebody because He placed you in this body. He did not save. You may feel like you're trash. Butler talked about being in the sewer all of his life. You may feel like you come out of a sewer. But can I tell you, if you are saved tonight, you are not sewer. You are not trash. You are somebody. You may not be perfect. You may have a lot of faults, but you are somebody because you are part of the body of Christ that He is the head of, and you are part of one body. There's not many bodies, but part of one body, as Christ the head of one body. And if I'm going to be part of Christ, which I am part of Christ, then that's something. And if you're part of Christ, that's something tonight. And I don't want the devil to ever slick you and telling you that you don't belong, that you're not worthy, that you're not worth it, because you are, because Christ saved you and placed you into the body. Man didn't. Christ saved you and placed you into the body, and that makes you valuable to God. Are you listening to me? Everybody is valuable to God. Everybody. Everybody understand that? If you understand what I said, say amen.
Amen.
Now, do you believe it?
Yes.
If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Father, help us tonight as we look at the church, as we look at your body, as we look at some things you laid down for us that we need to adhere to, that we might be pleasing unto you. Lord, it don't make us more of the body. It just makes us right while we're in the body. And Lord, I'm glad that you are the one that placed us. I'm glad you're the one that saved us. I'm glad you're the one that cleaned us. I'm glad you're the one that's making us what we ought to be. I'm glad that you're the one we got to please. I'm glad you're the one that's got the last say. I'm glad you're the judge. I'm glad you are the one that's going to reward what's necessary. And I'm glad that you are the one that takes care of everybody. And I sure do thank you for not changing. Lord, you don't change nowhere. Your word's true today as it was when you spoke it from heaven. And Lord, I pray that we might take it to our heart, that we might let it do the work in us that you want us to do. Lord, though we be feeble, though we be weak, though we be flesh, Lord, I pray tonight that you'll help us, that we might be pleasing unto you. Thank you for it all. Cleanse me, I pray. I know I'm no good. I know I'm dirty. Cleanse me. I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for where I fail you. Help me to be better. I want to do better for you. And I'll thank you and praise you. Give me power as you see fit. And we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name and amen. Tonight, again, we're going to be looking about the church. And again, I remind you that we are the church. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. And I want to remind you of this, that we assemble here together as part of the one body. The body comes here to assemble in this place, and we have our duties and responsibilities in this place for such a time as this, as God has for us. And we got to make sure we understand some things tonight. Now, the epistles tells us how to be a Christian. The epistles tell us how to act as part of the body of Christ. It tells me how I'm to act with God, and it tells me how I'm to act with you. It tells me about my relationship with the Lord and how I am to walk with Him. But it tells me also that my relationship with the Lord reflects on how I walk with you. It also tells me that how I walk with you reflects on my relationship with the Lord. If I'm walking with the Lord the way I ought to, then me and you're going to do fine. Everybody understand that? If you're walking the way you ought to, me and you're going to do fine. If we're all walking the way we ought to, we're all going to do fine. Now, if there's a problem, it ain't the Lord's fault. It's our fault. If there's a problem in any place in the body, it don't matter where it's at. If there's a problem in any place in the body, it's because the body is not reacting to the head. All right? The head runs the body. Christ is the head. And if the body don't work right, it's because we're not reacting to the head correctly. Everybody understand that? The body does not work without the head. The body did not exist until Christ arose from the grave. All right? He is the head of the body, the church, first begotten from the dead. They couldn't be a body until he arose. All right? Because he's the head of the body. Does everybody understand what I'm telling you tonight? And he is the boss. Does everybody understand that?
Yes.
He's the boss. Now, he's laid some things out for us, and we'll give you a title here in just a minute. All right? But we're going to look at some things. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, we're going to try to hurry. We're not. I know everybody's tired. I'm tired too. But we're going to preach this, and we're going to preach it not because I want to preach it. We're going to preach it because of necessity, but because it's part of the series. And I marvel at things that's been said tonight, that things that's been said in testimony has to do with the message this evening. So to me, and I've even trying to tell the new preachers that preaching, for me, preaching is part of worship. All right, preaching, that's not being for a holler, but for me, preaching is part of worship, and that the things will work together in worship, in unity in worship, and the testimonies and the preaching and the everything will work together, and I believe it has done that very thing tonight. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to start at verse 16. All right, verse 16. It says, from whom the whole body, speaking of the body, the church, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, if we're going to interpret all that scripture and give you some highlight there, that the whole body is together to edify itself. The whole body is supposed to build up itself. The whole body is supposed to encourage itself. The whole body is fitly joined together to help itself. Everybody understand that? Christ is the head. I'm be helping you. You're to be helping me. Everybody understand that? You're to be helping them. That y'all supposed to be helping them. Y'all supposed to be helping them. Y'all supposed to be helping them. We're in this thing edifying everybody together. Everybody understand that? And we're fitly joined together and compacted. We're not just put in together, but we're put in there and pressed together, compacted, because we're one body. Does everybody understand? Now, if you understand what I'm saying, you need to help me out. If you're not understanding, I'll start all over. Because this is vitally important that you get it. So if you're understanding, say, okay, I got it. Yes, amen. However you have, just respond, snore loudly or something, I get some response. Okay, but I want to make sure, and I'm serious. Because this is important. Listen to me. What I'm going to preach tonight might be one of the most important messages I've ever preached to this church. Okay? Might be one of, if not the most, it's one of the top three that I've ever preached or will ever preach to the body of Mountain State Baptist Church. All right? So you need to get it. And if you don't get it, I need to know it. Because I'll stay here all night and we'll do it again. Okay? Everybody understand that? It's that important. Okay? Now, verse 17. Says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Now we're not talking to lost people here. We're talking to the body. Okay? Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I want to stop there and let you know that, let's just go on. I won't stop there. Verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You see, we're talking about the body, don't you?
Yeah.
All right. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, that corrupt communication is against one another. All right? But that which is good to the use of edifying. Our communication one with another ought to be to build up and to encourage. That's what I said in the first verse we read. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. That's where we started in verse 16. Verse 29 is a continuation. It said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Is everybody with me? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, I just want you to understand there's a lot being said there to the body. Now, I want to remind you that this is for the body, it's for everybody. It's for everybody in the church. Now, I want to remind you, husband and wives that's here, that you are part of the body. All right. Now, you're not both together part of the body. You're each individually part of the body, becoming one. Then you've got another responsibility at home. So everything that relates to the church relates to the house as well.
Right.
Everybody follow me? So we don't just have this in this assembly, but we have this everywhere we are.
Right.
Everybody follow me? I have this at home. I have the same duties at home, the same duty when we assemble together. I have the same duty when I'm assembled with you outside the home, if I'm in your home, or if I'm at play, if I'm at fun in the sun, if I'm at a picnic, it don't matter what it is, that we are in this thing. Everybody understand? Listen to me. We're in this thing together.
Right.
Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
All right, make sure you understand that. All right. Now, there's some things we need in the church. We need power. You agree to that? We need power. We need wisdom. You agree to that? We need love. But you agree to that? We need peace. We need unity. I haven't said here three times, three different testimonies tonight. About unity. Right? We need that tonight. Do we not? But let me tell you what we're bad about doing. I'm going to tell you what the body's bad about doing. Everybody listening? The body's bad about quitting and going somewhere else instead of fixing things if there's anything wrong here.
Yeah.
We're bad about busting up homes instead of fixing a problem.
Right.
We're bad about leaving and going to another church. I'm just going to say this. If you've got problems, and if you've had problems, if you're listening and you've had problems, you went somewhere else, and you didn't fix the problem here before you left, then you got the same problem wherever you're at. Everybody understand that? And if you got a busted up home and you didn't fix it, or you ain't fixed it since you busted up, if you get another one, you're going to carry the same trash in that relationship. And it's the same way on the job. It's the same way at the schoolhouse. It's the same way with you kids. It's the same way everywhere. Does everybody understand that? Why? Because we're one body. We're one body. I don't know that we've ever really comprehended that we're one body. And what's so funny, all right? Now, I'm not preaching again. People ain't here. I'm just telling you, I'm just not going to sidestep nothing. But the people run to another church, they're still part of the body. They run to another church. And they ain't going to be happy there because they ain't happy where they run from.
Right.
Right.
But they're still part of the same body.
Yes, sir.
That's it. Goes right over the head. We okay? But that's just the truth in that. All right? But instead of fixing things, we won't want, we don't want to, I mean, there's reasons that when we move. I mean, part of the body, if the circulation is cut off and there's no food coming in, well, you get where you get something to eat. We okay there? Huh? Everybody understand that? I mean, you gotta have common sense. We still okay? Now, I don't want to lose nobody here. All right. So what we don't want to be is like that fella we told about before. Y'all heard about him. He was on his fishing boat, and some way he got the boat capsized, and he swam to the shore of an island. He was there for several years. Nobody knew where he was. There for several years by himself. Finally, a rescue boat come through. They seen smoke. They pulled in to the island, and here he is. Man, he's happy to see him. They come in and say, "Man, how have you done this, man? How have you survived?" And he was telling them what all he'd done. They said, "Well, what do you got here? What's this building right here?" He said, "That's my house." He said, "Well, that's good. What's this building over here?" He said, "That's where I store my food." I said, "Man, that's great. That's great. Man, you really got it nice." So, "What's that building over there?" He said, "That's my church. That's where I go to church at." Yeah. He said, "Well, that's good." So, "What's that building over there?" He said, "That's where I used to go." Okay. He was the only one there. That's the mentality today. All right, we still okay? Turn to Psalms 133. Psalms 133. I probably know that guy. I probably was his pastor one time. Psalm 133, verse 1. Are we okay? It says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Well, see, I didn't read that right. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Exclamation point. It's that important. Unity is that important, all right? So that's positive, then. Is that positive? Would that be a positive statement? Now here's a negative one. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 says, "These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet to be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." Huh. Imagine that. Well, that don't work. That won't work. Turn back to Ephesians. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, the Bible says it's good when men and women and boys and girls, people, dwell together in unity. But the Lord hates when there's division. And we need unity. We need unity. Now I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. Unity is not produced in a church. You cannot produce unity. Unity is preserved. Because unity comes from the Holy Ghost of God. And you can't produce unity. You got to get in line with the Holy Ghost of God and preserve it. That's good. You say, "Well, how do I know that?" Because that's what the Scripture said. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep it, not to produce it, but to keep it or to preserve it in the bond of peace. That we endeavor. That means to endeavor at all cost, at all strength. If you look the word up of endeavor, it don't just mean to take a lick at it, but to do all that's possible to be together in unity in the bond of peace. That's what it says there, ain't it? In the unity of what? In the unity of the Spirit. For the Spirit is what brings unity. I can't produce it. It's of God. The head. Christ. Christ in me. Christ in you. Hope of glory. Christ in me. Hope of glory. Are we still okay? Now, there's been a little bit of foundation here, and then we'll go on, okay? Listen to me. Any attack by anybody against the unity of the body is an attack against the Spirit of God. Think about that. Any attack on the unity of the body is an attack on the Holy Ghost of God. Think about it. And we ought to be careful. We ought to be careful how we love one another. We ought to be careful how we treat one another. Because if I go again the body, I'm going again the Spirit. I'm going again the Lord. And it ain't my little private vendetta. I'm again God. Wow. That brings a whole different light to my actions, does it not? See, now I want you to let you know, unity and together is not the same. Now, I've used this illustration before. Boys, y'all might want to try this sometime. You can take two tomcats and tie their tails together, throw them over a clothesline, and they're together. But there ain't no unity. Are you hearing me? You tie two tomcat's tails together and throw them over a clothesline and it's Katie bar the door. Huh? But they're together. That's not unity. Everybody understand that? So together don't mean just being in the same place. Titus, try that sometime. All right? Let me know how it pans out. All right? Huh? Listen to me. We're talking about unity. We'll give you a title here in just a minute. All right? Everybody still okay? How about 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, the message will go pretty fast here. We get the foundation up. We can build the house. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 22 says, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, that means division, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Now, members who? The members of the body. Everybody understand? But that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Right. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So we are the bodies of Christ. Everybody understand? And we're supposed to have the same care one for another. Is that what it says? Now, it didn't say that I suggest that's what you do. He's given us directions for the body. Are we okay with that? But that don't always work. And we'll say this, and then we'll give you the title. Mature people accept differences. Children fuss. Everybody understand that? Mature people accept differences. Children fuss. Everybody understand that? So that's self-explanatory. Okay? We'll give you three things tonight, and it's the enemies of unity. The enemies of unity. Of all the things that we need tonight, we need power. I believe that. We need wisdom. I believe that. We need love, which we better have. We need peace. All right? But we're not going to have none of that if we don't have unity. We're not going to have nothing. If we don't have unity, we're going to be them two tomcats over the clothesline. All right? Now, it might be fun to watch. It's going to be a mess. You understand? We still okay? Well, let's look. The enemies of unity. The first enemy of unity is the lack of love. That's the first enemy of unity. Now, I want everybody to listen. I want the young people to listen, because I'm going to preach in just a little bit. I'm going to preach to you kids. All right? Right straight to you. All right? So you're part of the body as well. All right? Everybody still with me? The lack of love. Now, I preached last year, you know, on love so much. And when I said that I never had any more harder preaching, I was serious, and I'm still serious. And I think it all went right over our head. I think it did. Do I need to say that again? I preached on love all last year, and it seemed like it went plumb over our head, because we sure ain't acting like it. Let's see what the Bible said. John 15, starting verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I think I'm finding out why we ain't got a lot of joy anymore. So there's a lack of love. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That's what God said. Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Verse 12 says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Let me ask you, do you love one another as Christ loved you? Do you? If not, when are you going to repent?
Amen.
You say, well, I can't do it. Yes, you can. God said to do it. He said, do it. This is my command. This is not my suggestion. This will be your best. This is my commandment. That ye love one another as I have loved you. Well, how is that unconditional? Unconditional. Good, bad, and ugly. That's it. I don't want you to treat me any better or worse than anybody else. I just want you to love me. I'm not going to treat you no different than the other. I'm just going to love you. I'm going to love you. Well, what if you do wrong? I'm going to love you. What if you do right? I will love you. What if we have problems? I'm going to love you. Huh? See, and I take this right down to the house. Me and Cheryl don't always get along. We don't always get along. We have problems. Now, we don't fuss. We don't fuss. We used to fuss. We used to fight. Huh? We used to fight. I've never hit her. I shook her till she's seen stars, but I've never hit her. Huh? Huh? Well, listen, I'm not bragging on it. I'm just telling you, I'm just as wicked as you are. All right? I don't have the perfect home. All right? But I know this. I know this. But the more I love her, the better we'll get along. I know that. I know that. Does anybody else know that? Jerry Rush, did he know that?
Yep.
Anybody else? This is my command that you love one another as I have loved you. Huh? Shouldn't we have a little bit of love?
Yeah.
How about 1 John? 1 John. Now, I'm going to preach slow if y'all ain't going to help me. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So what's that? Hereby perceive we the love of God because we laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Is there anybody in the body that you can't lay your life down for? If there's any person that's part of the body that you can't lay your life down for, your love's messed up.
That's right.
What the Bible said.
Amen.
What the Bible said. How about Leviticus? That's in the Old Testament. How about Leviticus 19? Probably I'll just read some scripture instead of saying much. But then you can't get mad at me. Great peace have they in love. I love nothing. Tell us in detail. Leviticus 19, verse 16. You know what it says? Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Let's see if I can read it easier. Thou shalt not hate thy brother. Thou shalt not. You know, it reads the same regardless how you read it. No. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Ain't that what it says? You know why it says that? Because that's what he means. We still okay? How about back to John, chapter 13. John chapter 13. Verse 35. John chapter 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Is that what it says? See, if we don't love, we're again the Lord. Everybody look this way. If you got a love problem, you're again the Lord.
Right.
Let me say that again. If you've got a love problem, You're against the Lord.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Huh? And I believe that's one of the enemies of unity, is lack of love. Now, the second enemy, we'll hurry up and go here. The second enemy is pride. Now, this is a different pride than what you would think of. See, pride is really self-righteousness. Pride is really that I'm better than you. That's what pride really is that I'm better than you. Everybody understand that? And can I tell you, there is pride at Mountain State. In fact, there's a lot of pride in Mountain State. It's so bad that the young people have developed it. The young girls and some of the boys have developed pride. Now, whether they learn it from their parents, I can't say. Okay, I don't know what's taught at home. But I know what is shown. Okay? When anybody in the body thinks that they're better than part of the body, then there's a problem. And pride becomes the problem. See, in James chapter 2, James is a wonderful book. Let's look at James chapter 2. Am I going slow enough for everybody to understand? See, pride and self-righteousness causes us to feel like we're better than others, and it's transferred to one another, and it's transferred to kids, it's transferred to cliques. Okay? It's transferred to cliques. To where people side with others, against others, because they feel they're better. But they do it humbly because they put the blame on the person that they think they're better than, instead of taking the blame for themselves. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Well, let's look here in James chapter 2. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. You notice what that says? Don't have the faith. Don't live like you're living for the Lord if you've got respect of persons.
Yeah, that's right.
For if they're coming to you assembly, if they're coming to your assembly, reckon that's the body? Reckon that's what that is, assembly? Ain't that what we are? For if they're coming to you in assembly, a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and in respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, now that don't mean homosexual clothing, and saying to him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou here or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But if ye despise the poor, do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which you're called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. We've done read that four different places. That we ought to love our neighbor as ourselves, or love like the Lord loves us. Amen. But look at verse 9. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. There ain't no plainer than that. But yet we have that. That's why some of you young people make fun of the bus kids. That's why some of the bus kids are quitting, because y'all been laughing at them, poking fun at them. That's why some of the bust his feelings, his hurt, and ain't going to come back. Now, I ain't telling you what may happen. I'm telling you what's happening. Because we got respect over others.
Right.
It's wrong. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin.
Yeah, that's right.
If you have respect to persons, if anybody in here thinks they're better than anybody, you commit sin. I don't care what color. Don't care where they're from. Don't care how they smell. Don't care what they look like. Don't care what color they are. Don't care what color their hair is. Don't care how much money they got. Don't matter whether they ride in a bus or ride in a Cadillac. It don't matter if they got millions of dollars or ain't got two nickels rubbed together. Huh? If we show respect to anybody for any reason, we commit sin. There's no excuse for it. It ain't of God. It's against God. And there's no unity. And God won't bless it. And that might be why our bus ministry is going downhill. Because instead of ministry, we've got respect to the bus people. And it's church kids that's doing it. I don't know how else to tell it, just to preach it. Where's our love? Where's our compassion? Where's our ministry? Where's our ministry to those who are down and out? Where's our ministry to those who are poor? Where's our ministry to those who are hungry or those who don't have the same clothes? Everybody don't have the same opportunities that we have at church. Everybody don't get to sing in the youth choir every third Sunday. Everybody don't get to be everywhere when the youth choir goes, and the bus kids can't go, and they can't be a part because their parents are unsaved and ungodly and don't even care whether they live or not, and they can't get here. Some of them would love to be here all the time, but they live 40 miles away. They can't get here. And then we're going to look down our nose at them for any reason. Point at them, laugh at them, to where the parents come and talk to the bus drivers. There's a problem, and it's called the enemy of unity. Not enemy to the preacher, it's enemy to unity. But if we're not careful, our adults is the same way.
You're right.
That's why we bring politics into the church.
Right.
That's why Republicans can't get along with Democrats. Democrats can't get along with Republicans.
Amen.
I'm not asking no one to agree with me. I'm just telling you what the problem is. You say, well, but there ain't no buts other than right here. But if you have respect to person, you commit sin. That's the only but I see right there. See, that comes because of lack of love. See, pride comes because of lack of love. Self-righteous comes because of lack of love. Can I tell you that in the home, it's the same way? Brother Rick taught it this morning in Sunday school. He said when he had three boys and he didn't buy one a green bike, one a red bike, one a blue bike. He bought them all green bikes or all red bikes or all blue bikes or all black bikes because he wanted to make sure that there was no partiality shown in any of his kids. Why is that? Because you wanted to keep unity in your home. We start separating people from what they look like and how they come, then we're going to go downhill. See, there might be some of y'all that wouldn't have liked me growing up. See, when I growed up in school, I didn't have lunch money. I got free lunch. So my daddy was disabled. He didn't have a check. He didn't get no disability. He lived. We lived off nothing. And all the rest of the kids had done moved out. And I didn't have none of that. I didn't have a car. I didn't have pop every day. We had 1 gallon of milk. Every 2 weeks, it was for 6 of us. And then after B.B. Mooney and Cindy moved out, I got a little bit more milk. We had carnation canned milk or powdered milk. I was in high school before I ate my first pizza. We couldn't afford to buy it, but when I run track, Dave loves that. That John Barnhouse, we went to a track meet, he bought us a pizza because we didn't have no supper. See, some people wouldn't like me when I was a kid. See, when I was a kid, it ain't been that long ago, when I was a kid, I got two shirts and two pair of pants in August. I got one pair of shoes, and that was it. I wasn't allowed to play in my school clothes. I come home, took my school clothes off, put on work clothes. I didn't get no more pants, I didn't get no more shirts until the next August. That's it. See, a lot of people didn't know, but I bathed in the number 3 wash tub. See, I wouldn't, if I was like that today, y'all kids probably wouldn't even talk to me. I was clean. But we didn't have none. I'm not talking about enemies of unity. You still okay? Third enemy. Stay in James. Third enemy. Chapter 1, verse 26. First enemy is lack of love. Second enemy is pride. And we're quieting down. Don't quiet down on me. Third enemy, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Lack of love is the number one enemy. Pride is number two enemy, because that's pride, is self-righteousness and thinking we'd be better than others. See, we're not even better than the sinners that ain't saved. And we definitely ain't no better than the sinners that have been saved. Because it ain't been that long that we was the sinners that wasn't saved. And then our tongue. Our tongue hurts the body. Our tongue hurts the body. Our tongue hurts our spouse. Our tongue hurts our children. Our tongue hurts the body. Our tongue hurts our spouse because of pride and lack of love. Our tongue hurts our spouse because we talk down to our spouse because we think we're better than them. Our tongue hurts our spouse because we're prideful and self-righteous. And our love ain't what it's supposed to be. Our pride and our lack of love causes our tongue to become unruly. Not only with our spouse, but with our children. What benefit does it have for us to holler and scream at our kids? What benefit does it have for us to holler and raise our voice to our spouse or our children? Only because of pride. Only because of pride and lack of love. We allow no one else to raise their voice to their children. We allow no one else to raise their voice, or you better not. You shouldn't allow somebody else to raise your voice at your spouse. Now, me and Cheryl ain't perfect, but I don't want you raising your voice to my wife. We'll have to discuss it the old way, out by. Yeah, we'll give a space to repent, but now would that be wrong? Yeah, but it still happened. What I'm telling you tonight is, we got enemies of unity. Is everybody understanding me tonight? Well, let's see what the Bible says. Let's turn to chapter 3 of James. Chapter 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to also bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness sown in peace of them that make peace. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, ye cannot obtain, ye fight more, yet have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is empty with God? That we could have put another enemy right there, the world. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Speak not evil. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Praise you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. Amen. I'm wondering what problems our tongue causes when we speak evil one of another of the brethren. When we speak evil of any part of the body, when we speak evil, listen to me carefully. When we speak evil against any part of the body, it cannot be taken back. And someone hears it, and they are either with you against that person, or they're with the person you spoke about, and they're against you. Therefore, there's not unity. Therefore, there's strife. Therefore, there's hindrance in the Holy Ghost of God and His work and His drawing. There's hindrance in worship. There's hindrance in fellowship. And it's never one person against one person. It's always this side against this side. And we refuse to go by the Bible when there is problems, where it says if they be ought to go to he and thee alone, and then if that is not took care of, you go with the mouth of two or three witnesses, and then if that's not taken care of, you tell it to the church, and then if the person does not repent, then you put them out. So instead, we have lack of love, pride, and a long tongue. And it's enemies of unity, which will destroy things like fun in the sun and youth camp, and junior church, and children's church, and bus ministries, and Sunday morning, Sunday school, and Sunday morning preaching, and Sunday night. They'll cause problems and hinder, and people will go to hell because of the hindrance of the Holy Ghost, because of self-righteousness. People will go to hell because of the body's self-righteousness. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are your kids going to do? Y'all going to learn to repent and do right? I'm asking you. Y'all going to do right? Been running your mouth, y'all repent. Been saying things you ain't going to have been to saying. Everybody in this church is necessary. Everybody's important. Everybody, if you can't work with somebody in the church, you're not right with God. Everybody's important. You have trouble with somebody rides the bus, you're not right with God. You make fun of somebody rides the bus, kids, you're not right with God. But just plain and simple. Girl, who it is? You're not right with the Lord. I don't know how to make it more simpler. I'm preaching to the church. We can't backbite, criticize, be mean. We can't talk down. We got a problem, fix it. If it can't be fixed, then forget it. If you can't fix it, forget it. Be done with it. Live for God. Is that not understood? We can't have people with hurt feelings that's not grown enough to know. If you've been saved very long at all, you shouldn't even have hurt feelings. If you've been a Christian very long at all, your feelings should never be hurt. You ought to be mature enough, but you don't care. Huh? Kids fuss. Mature people accept differences. That if I tarry long, that ye might know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. That's what the Scripture says. That's where it is. That's where it is. I don't have to explain that to nobody. We all know. But we commit sin. Father, I've tried to give you, give me. Lord, this is a list of the things you laid out. And Lord, I don't know all why. But you sure laid it out, and I'll give as you've given me. Help us to be together. Help us to come to you to preserve unity. We can't produce it. Help us to preserve it. Endeavor. Do all we can. Lord, I pray for our church. Help us. I'm asking in Jesus' name. Amen.